Well, we will begin now. Truth is, we are competing with several presentations, very interesting all, so we don't expect to have a full auditorium, but be sure you are in the right place. This is going to be a public policies track table, and the idea is to have examples on collaboration, South-South. We have a very interesting table here in which we will be approaching and covering examples of collaborations that we have in Latin America, basically. And in order to compensate the critics made by Dr. Fo this morning about not having anything on gender and women's rights, we have a specific presentation on that. First of all, we have Dr. Miguel Ángel González Brock, who graduated from the Cambridge University. He studied his PhD in sociology in Colegio de México, and currently he's the general director of the research center of the Health Institute. And then we will have the presentation of Pedro Mas Bermejo, who is a professor of epidemiology and a researcher, head researcher in sciences and the tropical medicine Institute Pedro Curi in La Habana. He graduated from the Central University of Cuba in epidemiology, and then he obtained a PhD in Karlova de Praga, and he was a director of the National Institute of Hygiene and Epidemiology in Cuba. He's worked also in SADEM in Germany. Deyanira Gonzalez de Leon, who works in the Department of Medical Care in the Metropolitan University of Xochimilco. She was advisor of different NGOs, especially of IPACS, which is an NGO defending women's rights. And she's been a member of working groups of women since 2002. Then we have Dr. Mateos Rodriguez Arqueira. He graduated from Minas Gerais and his master's in international economy in the University of Paris, and specialized in public health, and he works in the global health of OPS, and now he works in the Agency for Surveillance of Health of Brazil in the ANVISA. So we will now get started with Dr. González Bloch, who will be speaking about the progress and learnings of collaboration South-South in the Mesoamerican Institute of Public Health. Doctor, the floor is yours. Thank you, Mario. Good afternoon to you all. I would like to make this presentation on behalf of the Director's Committee and the Secretariat of the Mesoamerican Institute of Public Health. I'm the Executive Director of this initiative, and well, to me, it's a great honor to show it to you and present it. So, well, half of my presentation, the slides, you will see in English, but I will be speaking Spanish, and the other half will be Spanish, and I will continue to speak Spanish, so no problem. But, well, before anything else, I would like to make my presentation about some of the elements of a conceptual framework that has been allowing us to produce regional public health issues, as well as the National Mesoamerican Integration, mostly of the Mesoamerica Project, as well as the Mesoamerican Project of Public Health, so that after we move on and describe the Mesoamerican Institute itself. But I'm going to be very brief, because you all have this brochure, and it's very clear. Miguel Orozco back there is our chair of the board of the Mesoamerican Institute. So, Miguel, whatever you can help us with. So, well, Dr. Pablo this morning gave us all the global landscape as well as challenges. So here we are focusing in pandemic risks as well as aging of population, comparison between countries on health systems and approach of globalization. All this on the context of the debate that this morning happened, that has already been mentioned about if global health is public health at the global level, or if we should have a particular approach. We considered that global health is public health completely, but that it has a number less of challenges as well as competences that we need to approach in this topic. So, looking at public health as a global public good, we need to say that health is a human right. Health has been elaborated or developed, and there's a consensus practically global about the topic, although we know that at the legislative level and constitutions, not every country acknowledges this, but definitely is something we aspire to. Because in order to have efficient global health, we require all the governments to require it at that level. We have the translation of knowledge into practice as a fundamental element in order to really take advantage of the knowledge generated in any country, and that can then infeed the knowledge base in other countries, as well as integrated approaches at the level of government, clinic, and community, and the importance of being interdisciplinary, which we also covered this morning, as well as multi-level work based on interventions. And I guess these at a regional level, we will see this relationship between the global world, regional, national, and local. And finally, the importance of comprehensive frameworks for financing and structuring health policies and services. An approach that has been clear for us is the regional public goods. And in order to really understand them and do an analogy, as Smith does, between public and national goods and consumption, private ones, and the relationship between public regional goods and national systems of health, a public good, a national one, typically we can see as electrification of the country, the electricity networks, which are an incentive and a massive investment that no individual, not even small companies, could carry out efficiently, and therefore turn out to be into public global goods by a monopoly normally regulated by the government, but that for its right consumption is required of goods of access, which are private goods such as connections, as well as the electrical domestic installation that is the one provided to the consumers. And they do not correspond a lot having to do with the scale, but this is what makes efficient consumption turn into reality. Well, same ways, the public goods, the regional ones or global ones, must be seen also as incentives which are being offered by global stakeholders that we have talked about. These are stakeholders that are not perfect yet in terms of including everybody that has to be included to define priorities, characteristics, and that in the end are public kind of goods that are produced globally massively based on incentive and rules that must be of harmonization of them all, but that have to set a relationship that is multilateral in the systems of health that will allow to have a consumption of these global public goods. And this is an analogy of a private good. But as a national situation, then this also requires of goods of access or services of access that in the end community and the place must provide under the same logic. What I have observed is that many of the global actions on health fail when not identifying clearly what is the component of a global public good that we expect that our countries carry out an interrelation with them without it being completely clear. So in such a way that what we're after in the Mesoamerican Institute is to provide clarity to this relation based upon governance of the global public goods. Then, in terms of strategies for the public global goods, we require of a social participation that is broad. When defining a global public good, this is a consultation process that is quite broad. There must be a consensus about efficiency, technical efficiency of the solutions. This is all the stakeholders must be really clear about the interventions that will be structured at a regional and national level are of a high efficiency where everybody can trust. Nevertheless, the governments are the ones that must certify their public interest for this global good. They must be the owners in the end on producing this global public good, even when we have global bodies carrying them out at that level of structure. And then there must be a focus in strengthening the institutions at all levels, and we must make sure that there's a contribution that is with solidarity amongst all the levels of government. So following this approach, we must strengthen governance of these public goods or global goods in such a manner that we don't leave aside opportunities that may be lost. Under Mario's leadership, we're working in eliminating malaria in Mesoamerica, which is an opportunity that we should not avoid because all the countries are soon to be able to eliminate malaria. But still, we need a consensus allowing this goal and therefore contributing to eradicate malaria worldwide. Therefore, we need a strategic balance based on a systemic thinking between this balance, between vertical programs that will allow us to take advantage of immediate opportunities, as well as integration of them in a very well-defined calendar so that in the end they are sustainable and they can strengthen the health system as a whole. So, it is required to work under harmonization schemes as well as national reforms that are congruent, that make sense with these elements. This about the health system integration is key, but we need to read it as a process that must have times, characteristics, and as Rifat Atun defines, as a degree of modality and speed of adoption, as well as the interventions of health towards each of the systems context, this HR, financing, governance, service provision, and many more. But also we have different degrees of integration, which could be considered as viable, as feasible, based on the nature of the problem, intervention, stakeholders, and the own characteristics of the system and the context they operate in such a way that we should not do a Manichaeism about vertical, but we need to see an integration process that is gradual and that in the end will allow us to support and take advantage of opportunities. So well with this, we are going to now describe our project of integration and development called Mesoamerica, which is the presidential of the highest level initiative trying to define several actions. First of all, it acknowledges the Mesoamerican region as a common interest one, vital one, because of its characteristics and development conditions, and mostly because of the interrelation there is between their populations, and which is definitely having a fundamental importance, and therefore to see that this identity of Mesoamerican, which is not common, to be able to reinforce it so that we see that they produce the regional public goods as a region. This is with an identity of their own, with achieving objectives that may only be achieved by the collaboration of all the participants of the region. So, the integration and development project of Mesoamerica has a range of projects that is broad. Although they are very well defined with important investments having to do with regional development and the progress of building structure platforms and the needed condition to develop programs and projects, social projects, health, natural disasters, and housing. Under this context, the Mesoamerican Institute is part of a Mesoamerican system and a project, and the system, briefly, is or faces certain challenges with a population of 500,000 women not having prenatal care, or all these people you see that can be infected about malaria, of 500,000 kids who do not receive the vaccination package, and 35% of those children with deficiency of micronutrients. Now, in our scheme, then, the challenge is to bring out these regional policies and turn them into programs, and for that, the Mesoamerican system so far has focused for priorities, nutrition, malaria, mother's health, and vaccination, but integrating actions that could be vertical at first, because we will be setting, based on the Mesoamerican Institute, strategic plannings and technical support and evaluation and training as well as formation that will allow us to articulate based on the concept. So, in these terms, following a fast chronology, all this started in April 2009 by signing the agreement, the bylaws and the intention letter, and there was this agreement for financing. And we have our act, and we have our academic dates, and we have our 2010 master's and PhDs offered in our institution, but in a website, and the selection of the chair or the head of the board. So far, we have these institutions which are part of the consortium: Costa Rica's University, INSP, Nicaragua's University, El Salvador, San Carlos from Guatemala, Warehouse from Panama, and Southern Frontier. And they participate with CONCOMISCA and the Mesoamerican Institute, and the head and the chair. The mission is to contribute to the strengthening of the national health systems through the network of academic institutions and under the framework of the public health of Mesoamerica, to improve health of population by producing and using public regional goods, with the vision of developing regional strategies supporting knowledge and capacities of the countries in order to face the challenges of public health. And, well, we acknowledge the support, the financial support, political and institutional, of the Ministry of Health of Mexico, Carlos Slim Institute for Health, and CONCOMISCA. And I will briefly now move on into the programs we have, which are three big programs: the Mesoamerican Formation and Updating, which is currently we have several programs, as I was mentioning, with no opportunities to provide scholarships or PhD in nutrition and public health. Right now, we are offering this in the Institute, but they are being developed options so that other Central American institutions in the same regional framework start offering the program. Then we have the Mesoamerican Program for Training and Institutional Development to contribute to the development of competencies and skills in public servers, which are of several strategic areas of the systems of health of the Mesoamerican region. We have gone through several diploma courses and different courses with 97 or 8 students from different countries, creating our base to implement the regional programs. We have the Mesoamerican, or better said, new opportunities in this same program will be training courses offered by the University of Costa Rica and the CS in these areas of the surveillance systems and the diploma courses. And finally, we have this program, it's American Program for Transference of Knowledge, with a platform of management and knowledge, which is a site where everybody participating could be doing the management of different actions and a collaborative regional virtual kind of communication. Thank you, Dr. Gonzalez-Bloch. So we now have the floor open for comments or questions. We need a microphone, please. Maybe it's not a question, actually, but it is a comment, the acknowledgement of the importance and initiative of ACES for a Mesoamerican system on public health. I believe It is a true example of South-South cooperation, and I would just like to mention this. Thank you. Thank you, Pablo. Back there, Francisco. Well, knowing that as part of public health, at some point we knew that the important part of research is the weakest in the region, and that there's some kind of help in research with the actions that tend towards moving from the problems to specific programs through the policies. How is it that you're going to link all the different research programs of the region in order to carry out this and be able to truly reinforce and strengthen and improve all the national systems of research for health in Mesoamerica? Very good question. Actually, we have covered the topic of technical support and knowledge management. This is to see the use that we have to take advantage of research by those who are decision makers and also at the local level of communities, and then on this base put the researchers, so that from the very beginning we wanted to have very clear this line of priorities or the usage of knowledge. So about this base, we would like to develop now the topic of research and implementation in such a way that research is at the service as much as possible of policies and programs that are being structured. So, well, this is the Mesoamerican program where we will be having the researchers in order to strengthen the implementation. I would like to provide an example because I think it's also very important. It's not that there's no research going on. There was this case this year, which was a year of reporting for us. We say an UNGAS year. This is that we report to the General Assembly of the UN or our countries, the AIDS. I mean, there are research all the way from the government, the civil society. But the point is this instance that we have to manage the knowledge around. One of the working lines mentioned is the platform of knowledge management. And another point that is very important is how to relate institutions who may and must be doing at least helping those who do, let me put another example, quality of research varied from some that were excellent until others who had problems because they couldn't even say what they were saying because the sample was not enough. But there were many internal quality elements someone who should have been participating in keeping quality of that research. But, well, the platform of the institute to actually speed out the process and make sure about the quality, as well as the Mesoamerican system with COMISCA and all the government instances, to also valorate what can be provided all the way from the government and the government instances, databases, information systems, and all that can input the information from the institutions which are part of the different universities and institutes. This negotiation and communication with the civil society who is producing all this and see the great advantage that it means to put all these resources to work in order to turn into the evidence to actually carry out the policies design. Thank you. Well, we ran out of time right now for this section. Thank you, Miguel Angel. So now we ask Pedro Mas Bermejo from the Pedro Curie Institute of Cuba to please present his presentation on global health as a policy and strategy of the Cuban health system and collaboration South-South. Thank you for inviting me and for giving us this opportunity of sharing our experience on collaboration South-South. Well, here I agree with what Pablo was saying about Kofi Annan, about his leadership during the period he was the General Secretary of the UN. And I start my conference by saying part of a wonderful quote of him on this discourse he gave in December 2006 when he was leaving the position that was called the Five Lessons I'm Learning. He was saying here several things that I would be only remarking a few about the international relationships and diplomacy, which is a collective responsibility, as well as the role of the law. And I recommend everyone who is not involved in this, who has not read it, to please check it, because it is excellent, a summary about what diplomacy should be in international agencies or bodies. So, also, this was a visit we made on October 26, 2009, in La Habana, Cuba. And in a presentation by Dr. Chang, director of the World Health Organization, she said this, you see it here, that she was aware about the impact the blocking of Cuba was. Nevertheless, it is surprising what we have reached in the health department. So that day, it was decided by Dr. Chang to give a donation of vaccine for AH1N1 that right now people are being vaccinated in Cuba. We have about 30,000 people vaccinated. And here we see the other minister, Dr. José Ramón Valadez, where he ratifies that Cuban medicine has written brilliant stories inside and outside the country. So, well, with this premise, I consider personally, maybe there are colleagues who do not agree, that for the South-South collaboration, then this is Cuba, and maybe it's not for every country, but first, there must be a definition of health as a responsibility of the state. If you don't see this existing, it is impossible to collaborate. That's number one. Second, in Cuba, the Cuban case, that we have a universal kind of system that is acknowledged worldwide. Yeah, but not necessarily has to be a system like Cuba. It must be, could be different, and many of them have been covered here. Of course, when we are collaborating, we must have a clean house. This is about the health resources, the results of health must be good, and besides, must be a national priority. First, it has to be a national priority, and as of there, we can then turn into an international priority. And fourth is the middle-level education that was spoken here and has made easier the South-South collaboration that has been demonstrated, that I don't have the time to speak, but to have integral general medicine formation for men, for people. When I was invited to this conference, as it happens, I forgot the title. And then I started writing the title, and then I decided what I would do. So I decided to use this case, which is the Yemen case, in order to speak about the public health human resources. And I decided this for two reasons. First, global health has to be efficient. Second, has to be sustainable. And this term of sustainable, I have not heard it in the sessions I was attending, but this is a premise that global health must have. If global health is an isolated effort, then it won't be sustainable and won't have the expected result, as well as the South-South collaboration, because North-South, as it's been said here, has been or has a different dimension. This is a picture of the capital of Yemen, which is a patrimony of the humanity, and you will feel that you are in a different world. So, what happened when we arrived to Yemen? This was the situation. They were going to apply a reform as of 95, where you can see here the expenses in health increased, the general expenses in health, and increased the expense on public services of health, which is this line here, and dropped general expenses in health. And as you can see, the resources and the increase of privatization dropped quite much. We were also facing a lot of problems. As you can see here, it was an epidemic situation in the south, and this was reported in this reference you have over there, and this had to do with the dengue fever. And there was also another epidemic situation, which was a problem, as you can see, in this vaccination system. And you know there's a vaccine for polio that I won't be speaking about in order to carry out my message. But you see the difference of the colors, right? So green is less than 80%. And yes, it can be transmitted. So they had an outbreak that was quite big. And then under this situation is that we arrived. Unfortunately, when the vaccine was applied, as you can see, it was controlled. This here is Yemen. And so there was in other places as India, and it was controlled, fortunately. So what happened as you're going to fail with this reform? This here is a picture of the current Ministry of Health. They decided to go for a new reform, and they focus it in the centralization of services, distribution of HR, and an approach because of the epidemic situations I mentioned before. So basically, the regionalization of services, as you can see here, is the unit of first attention or care. And then they arrived to, they became to be hospitals, trying always to go back to the public sector, which is quite complex when they lost control of the private sector. So this is where we got with this health problem that I won't delve into. The mission, the dean called me and said, well, okay, there's a PhD program in the University of LA. I didn't see any reference. I started looking, and when I got there, one of the things was the influence of the cultural aspects that these Arabic countries have, but this one in particular. As you can see, these are students here. They are all covered, as they normally are. And well, there's a mezquita where they pray. So, well, what was the task? To close the cycle of university formation in a country where we are collaborating many, many years ago, 22, and where the first school of medicine opened when Cuba had outside. So we didn't have established there a medicine program because there was a post-grade course such as master's and specialization. So the idea was to form doctors. This is to go a step beyond of the fundamental purpose of closing this university cycle, where we were collaborating for more than 32 years and where we have seen coming through more than 500 professors. This despite of, as you can see, what sustainability is, and I will stop here for a minute. Along these 32 years, what happened in Yemen, besides what they were saying of the health situation, the country was unified. We used to collaborate with someone who was in the south, and it was unified with the north in 1990. And in 1994, there were problems because of the separation, because of trying to go back to what it was before. And despite of all this, we continue to collaborate because it was sustainable. So this is the PhD program that I won't delve into, but I would like to say this is a program that will be carried out in 5 years. So what happened when we lived there? Well, that when we opened up the process for wanting to be part of the PhD, you see this amount of people arriving. So we had to open a process in order to evaluate the students and only selecting 10. So here, this criteria had to do with the cultural influence that they cannot go to study for two different countries because of a religious problem. So this is how we carried out this programming, which is to give you an idea so that you get to see globalization. We consider the PhD program of the Institute of Public Health of Mexico and the one of Cuba and Alexandria University in Egypt, and with the purpose of finding some U.S. universities like the School of Medicine Tropical de Londres, we carried out this program. And this program was analyzed and all the steps of the Arabic system. So what did we find? that there were nothing to analyze with the students, so we needed the students to have the information about the health situation they had, and besides, in a global context. So, of course, all this was in English, so we used some examples of Cuba. This article you were seeing before that is about health in Cuba, this was an article published in American Journal of Public Health about the Cuban experience, and we also studied the problem of the systems of health of other continents, just as we saw in China, that we're using more for the seminar and all this. So concluding, we believe that the training courses, after a process of about 2 years of negotiations, do a lot of paperwork and information. In the current moment, we finished phase of a curriculum, and right now the students are doing research. Because in the end of their curriculum, we need the protocol to be approved. So what is it that we did? Well, they needed to do their investigations, and this is what they're on right now. So as I was saying, these are the protocols, like this is the forecast with the weather change, that with the high temperatures and warm weather, productivity will drop. So looking for this situation that Yemen had specifically meant that we had some of these protocols, as well as finding for remarkable students in the process we had in the middle of a master's degree where they also defended some topics having to do with other things, as you can see here. And we incorporated them to the RAIN. And these were the publications because we also forced them as part of the formation to publish the results in some of the sites they had. And, well, we also fostered the participation of the students in international events. This is a presentation that was made in 2008 in Canada about problems of the reform that I already explained. And for you to see what the collaboration is, this is a thesis that was depending from Alexandria. But when this thesis got integrated, that no one opened the door to me, I was called, doctor, would you be accepting a student if we send it? Well, if she covers all the requirements, send her. And then this finished with this degree that I won't reproduce, but that you can actually read. And it shows that when you're collaborating, all these different people arrive to the same place. And well, this is an acknowledgement of the university authority for the work that we did there. We had two more Cuban professors who were working with me. I worked with the PhD program. But also, when we started opening our PhD program, we had, for instance, of students who have studied in the U.S. and were doing something else, and they joined the program. And then this experience, so that you know, we published in the Cuban Higher Education magazine, and now we're trying to include it in a book about experiences on how to become a doctor that has been doing in the panoramic system of university education. And with this, I'm going to finish. And these are some views. This is Aden, which is a port very similar to Havana. This is a picture that also benefited us a lot. This about the dean was then promoted to Minister of Health. So, well, these are events carried out periodically to find out how the situation is and the collaboration, so that they sit and try to have experience, especially the scientific one. So with this, I finish. I wanted not to stop giving the credit to the university, because for them, I mean, for us, it was nice, but for them to start their first program of a PhD of the whole university was quite a challenge. The Medical University of La Habana, who we also had also great communication with through the dean and all, to receive students and to eventually receive some professors, and the Ministry of Public Health and Population of Yemen, as well as the other. And with this, I finish. Questions for Pedro? I find this program as a very important one. This morning, we had the opportunity of presenting the experience we have as MBK, and where we are not having PhDs but masters to start with the whole process. And a question that I happily found in your presentation, but I'm extremely impressed about the figures, of the doctors and Cuba putting available of countries of Africa, South America, but Africa, because of all it means. You know the training, this is the people who leaves Malawi, leaves this kind of states or countries to where they are better paid. So well, you have figures of this cooperation of Cuba. If you don't, it's okay, but I know there are impressive figures, and I am also very impressed about this cooperation between Cuba and other poor countries. Yes, I do have figures. What happens is that, you know, I had a very little time, but well, first of all, just to set an example of collaboration in Yemen, as a product of this collaboration, to the last training course, we've been having 3,680 doctors and nurses from Yemen with a university degree. I mean, medical collaboration, and here we're speaking of 600 and something, because before coming, I updated it. And the professors have been changing, have been going through big groups. Yes, of course, they started. I mean, they started with a warehouse. They said, okay, here is where we will put our school of medicine. So they started and they inaugurated it. They say that they were thinking that the Cubans were crazy. And as of this, at this point, they have three faculties. But they have gotten financing for this formation. They have the school of medicine, a stomatology one, and they have another school for pharmacy. So these three now, the professors are from Yemen. So, well, at this point, we have 15 Cubans only. But there's this point, my dear advisors, that help. And as of this experience, then, we have this formation system. We have it in Africa, in Angola specifically, where the current moment we have 232 university college professors in many universities trying to teach. We also are opening it up at this minute, a collaboration of teachers, of professors with Qatar, with a different philosophy, because this will be a hospital that will be managed by Cuba completely, and where we will have specialists formed. So we're trying to get more specialization. And this is because exactly one of the things they get stimulated being, especially these countries, Pablo was speaking about, that when they go to study to other places, they stay. And then they also solve a problem of the Hara countries, which is women can study, and then it improves. Thank you, Pedro. The next presentation will be provided by Dr. Deyanira González de León from the Autonomous Metropolitan University, Xochimilco in Mexico. And it will be about women and the strengthened work of health and model to combine 1-1 or South-South. Good afternoon to you all. The work I'm going to be presenting speaks about a group of women in health. And in English, because your regional group works in this language, is the Women and Health Task Force. And then a model for South-South collaboration. As background, in order to create this group, we have the fact of the health problem of women continue to receive a very scarce attention, especially in the developing countries. Some of the evaluations are relative to being a complement of the goals of the objectives of development of the millennium and illustrate this situation. For example, objective number 3, which is about fostering gender equity and autonomy of women, continues to be a promise that has not been accomplished for many, many million women worldwide. And about the objective number 5, which speaks about improvement of mother's health, maternal health, and the access of care for 2015 in reproductive health. Well, we still have several problems to be solved. Why? Well, because the progress in reproductive health has been slow, very uneven, not only between regions and countries, but also to the inside of the countries. This working group about women and health tries to be a collaboration model that is south-south that will foster the incorporation of problems of health with women in their curricula in health sciences. This is a model that is oriented towards formation of professionals of health. It also includes academic staff, students, and community organizations, mostly of developing countries. The purposes, the core ones, or the final ones of the project, are to form professionals on health that will respond to the needs of women and who can foster changes to the inside of the health services. And the second is to promote an exchange and strategies development in order to incorporate the approach of gender to the professional formation in sciences of communication. The working group about women and health was created in 1991 in a meeting that was happening in Nigeria, and I will be explaining what is it about. It was reorganized and revitalized in 2002 when finally the resources arrived for its formal creation. We have integrants of many countries of the world. We have represented every region, and currently we count with about 35 members. So, well, this is a picture of the group in a reunion in 2005 in Vietnam. This is the last one taken in the U.S. Well, the objectives of this group are, first of all, to offer the professionals of health knowledge and the right skills to acknowledge multiple conditioning issues for reproductive health of women. And as many of this, we have social conditioning and we have economic, society, and cultural ones that in general are dealt with very little in the traditional formation programs of doctors, nurses, psychologists, and so on. Second place, or the second objective, is to foster collaboration between universities, groups of women of community type to respond to the needs of the health problem of women. The third one, to create opportunities to increase or incorporate women's rights as well as in the programs of sciences of health. And number 4 is to cultivate the capacity of being a leader in the sciences of health area. Well, the group has been possible, or to keep in functioning, the group has been possible thanks to the collaboration with, well, basically with 2 organizations. The first one being Global Health through Education, Training, and Service, which is an NGO based on the U.S. and that offers administrative staff, financing, and the handling of our logistics of the project we have. And the second one is from Network Towards Unity for Health, which is the original forum of work of the group. And this organization provides us with their side of the internet and other things, make it easy and having to do with the resources on a city that I will be speaking a little further. And one last collaboration that was at the beginning of the group formation is this organization which was settled in the University of Malaysia. Well, in one of the universities of Malaysia. So briefly, I will be describing now what is to have, por qué, which is an agreement of individuals and organizations committed with improvement of health at the community level. It was created in 1979, and it has around 300 integrants and 75 countries with representatives from every single part of the world. GETS is this organization related to the prior network, having its seat in the U.S., founded in 2002, and providing funding because my workers and health workers are struggling to improve the living conditions of their communities. These are the problem areas: women's health, HR, workers' health, and community health. And it provides us with administrative coordination, financing, to organize meetings as well as to attend them, to have projects that are sustained, and other things. Strategies of work of the group are the creation and spread out of economic resources, active participation in year kind of situations of the network that were basically institutions that were educative as universities, as well as and the participation in other things. Now, you learning in collaboration throughout the opportunity of workshops and annual meetings. Those universities where we carry out the meetings of the network, financing to community projects and university projects through a program called mini grants or providing mini grants, and the active participation of students. Amongst the achievements and progress of the most important of the group, we find the development of a package of learning and health of women, which is an educational resource that is flexible for free and that is used online for those students or professors as well as suppliers of the health section. We have here the electronic address. So, well, this is the way we see it. And then this handout has currently 15 modules which speak about problems where many of them are problems that are critical in the field of health for women, and they include all the way from violence against women, the unwanted kind of a pregnancy, transmission mother-son, in the feminine different aspects. So you have the list here. So now this package was done with the idea of having a very broad distribution, and the modules, especially the first ones, were handled by several universities. So we have here some of the first, where we use pilots of the modules in order to improve the wording, the structure, and mostly formulation of cases for the discussion of these problems and to make easier learning, especially of the students. Well, the group has also been able to finance some community projects in order to use the modules of this educational package, and these are some examples. This is around 14 projects, community projects here. We only get to see four of the examples. We have also financed projects to the inside of universities, and which are basically the organization of workshops and small courses for students, and that have allowed sensitization of many professors about certain topics which in generally are not dealt with or are done just to a few due to cultural, political issues, legal, and others. other achievements, the spread out of this educational package and of the model of the group, throughout elaborating binders with brochures, our website, through presentations in international meetings and regional ones. Continuous and growing presence in the yearly meetings of the organization, of the base one, and the creation of an electronic server to make easier the work in a remote manner of everybody. We also have a package or a program, a new program, to evaluate the use of the modules, the incorporation of the modules of the educational package in university programs of different regions of the world, which has been one of the most important achievements, because the topics such as feminine genital mutilation or abortion are topics that are not covered or very little. Another achievement is the publication or issuing of an article about the group that appeared in the magazine Education for Health, which is a network magazine. If someone is interested, I can give the information. It came out last year, the article, and it is an article speaking about the experience and evolution of the group, as well as the results we have obtained. Having to do with the challenges, well, the main one is to identify new sources of financing, because we always think there are needed more resources so that people can attend international meetings that are far, far from the original countries, and mostly to make easier a great amount of students, men and women, who participate with us in our activities. We are exploring some strategies to make the group an organization that is independent of the network, and one of the challenges is to have better documentation about the use and the impact this educational material has had, that one we've been talking about. Well, as a conclusion, we can say that the group has remained active as of a cohesion that is strong between their integrants, and it has arisen interest of a health of a women of this big organization when we see participating around 200 universities plus other kind of organizations that we work in on women's health. So, well, we can see this in the fact that every time there is a meeting of the network, we have more sessions coordinated by the group, which we speak about specific problems on women's health. And finally, evolution and experience from the work group about, we believe it is useful for other organizations who are trying to foster collaboration between developing countries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. González de León. Is there any question? Comments? Congratulations. I would like you to clarify, please, the participants or the institutions of the South under collaboration with other institutions. No, I couldn't hear. Yes, which are the institutions who collaborate in the local network? How many? And which? Most of them are colleges or universities, and they are universities of about, like everywhere in the world. So, yeah, how many? Universities, more than 200, because the network has 300 members total. But there are organizations also of a community base. But yes, the origin of the network were higher education institutions. And they have an interdisciplinary approach. So we have schools of medicine, of nurses, odontology, psychology, physiotherapy, and many more. Well, if we don't have any questions, we can move on. Mateo Rodriguez Cerqueira
from the National Agency of Sanitary Surveillance of Brazil will be speaking about cooperation South-South experiences in Brazil, South America, and Africa.
Good afternoon to you all. I will try to speak Spanish. And our work
will be speaking about the South-South cooperation and the experiences of Brazil in South America and Africa. This is a work written by the two authors that you see here. Me from the surveillance agency together with the Ministry of Health, and my peer Roberta Santos from the Pan American Organization of Health of Brazil. And well, this was written in the environment of the program of letters in World Health, where we participated in the last year. And as background of the topic, Brazil, I've seen nowadays, because of participating in several initiatives of international cooperation as well as South-South cooperation, and given the growing number of initiatives, we have the need somehow of evaluating what we have done, our participation so far, and to analyze a little bit of the initiatives and which are the stakeholders who are involved, as well as difficulties, progress, and an attempt of coordinating this international help provided by Brazil to several countries. And also to analyze elements and practices which are part of a South-South cooperation, those who, or that we speak now today. And so before we move on to this, as a background, well, we see this need of having or defining a little bit of what is cooperation South-South and which are the characteristics of this kind of cooperation, and which are the elements that may characterize this group of initiatives that we observe nowadays, and that, of course, are not a new initiative, but it has been there for several years, and thus I would like to try to speak afterwards. It has a relationship with initiatives of approaching between the southern axis countries. And another characteristic is that in Brazil, international cooperation is part of a state policy. So we have this institution who is responsible of the coordination of the exterior politics of Brazil, which is the National Agency for Cooperation, that besides has a lot of financial resources to actually support the initiatives of bilateral reimbursement. Another matter is that you are close to the Ministry of the Exterior and Rats and Brats from Brazil, as well as the Ministry that work together with initiatives of cooperation, technical cooperation in health. So, well, the general objective then of this work was to analyze the kind of cooperation by Brazil towards the Southern Axis one in the field of health and the different experiences in South America and Africa, and then the objectives were to characterize the exterior policies of Brazil, to analyze a little bit the historic evolution and the features of South-South cooperation to characterize the technical cooperation of Brazil and particularly South-South in health, as well as this component of triangulation of OAS, or in this particular case of OPS, but the triangle type of situation because of developed countries or bilateral agencies is then also a new element that we need to analyze in having to do with the South-South cooperation. And well, we try to propose a model of analysis and characterization of the South-South cooperation that I would be showing you a little further. So, as I was saying, why Brazil is involved in so many initiatives in cooperation South-South? Well, on one hand, we notice that the country wants to be the most exposure in international policies and the definition of the agenda, as well as providing the geographic surface, the amount of their population, the performance in economy. They need some international acknowledgement in the world, and it acts as a negotiator between developed countries and developing countries. And well, the country has a ministry of external affairs institutionalized by the HR and diplomatic people, and those who have a degree, and those who are autonomous, and they have an institutional aspect, and then it helps to have the exterior policies as a state policy, besides a government one. As well as presidential diplomacy, this is all the way from President Lula, who is very aware, and he attends several international fora, and he provides the main guidelines of the exterior policies of Brazil. So on one hand, this is it. And then the country as an emerging power. And on the other side, we have the cooperation, which is part of the state policies. First, the exterior policy that is to be institutionalized. And on the other hand, cooperation is one of the instruments about what exterior policies are all about, to obtain development objectives of the country. This is a very important aspect also. And, well, the country then should consider that their technical capacity that is acknowledged, that can actually surpass countries which are developing countries. This experience, and we try to place it in the projects of cooperation in order to review this knowledge. And also, we placed some experience, certain amount of experiences, successful experiences in the bilateral cooperation in developing countries, as well as speaking of the change there was in technical cooperation worldwide. We had as a starting point a cooperation based on financial help, technical, all the way from the developed countries to the developing ones. And we changed this idea towards one more of cooperation, horizontal between countries. Of course, we have different levels of development, and we have a difference in the different powers and in developing countries, but these are initiatives in which these countries innovate and learn together. This is a shared knowledge, one built by the two countries. Therefore, I use this horizontal view. And PNUD has been one of the most important ones for the change of this technical international cooperation. This is the UN program for the development, and with the principles that are basic of being horizontal, consensus, and equity. And then we also spoke a little bit about the historical frameworks of cooperation South-South, and we characterized the technical cooperation from Brazil, and more specifically the South-South Brazil Cooperation on Health, in which we have the agency of Brazil participating, as well as the Ministry of Health. The way our peer from Cuba presented, similar to that, the health policy is also state policy, and access, universal access to the services of health is also a policy of state. And it is with this premise that we work together with the countries which are priority for us. Well, this one then, the metrics, we try to include here some of the main characteristics that the South-South cooperation should have, and this was about some documents. In the end, we will see the bibliography, but in general, I will not be able to delve in detail, but how horizontal and consensus on equity and solidarity and innovation are. Sustainability, strategy, transparency, commitment, leadership in the South, exchange of experiences, integrality, structure, and these are some of the features that we would have to evaluate about the initiatives of cooperation to see if these are experiences of South-South cooperation or not. And then in these studies, practical studies, we study the training course called CIRHUS, which is for human resources and health specialized knowledge. This was an initiative to form people from HR in Latin America, in South America, and not as a triangle bias. And well, because of the need of formation of HR was specialized, but I will be focusing more in the second study, which is one about the project of strengthening of sanitary issues of Mozambique. And then the government of Brazil, together with the government of Mozambique, decided to transfer technology in order to produce medicines in the Mozambique country because due to the AIDS kind of epidemic, HIV, they don't have this industry to manufacture medicines, and they also depend on outer help to buy their medicines. So due to the need, we are supporting the implementation of a manufacturing plant over there for medicines. And of course, thinking about sustainability of the project, it is a need to strengthen the sanitary authority of the country to regulate medicines which are taken there so that they are quality and efficient. And, well, this is how we're working with them. A little bit having to do with the perspective of cooperation South-South, the one I mentioned before. The areas in which we are acting are these you see here, all these you see on the screen. And, well, we found that there's a big commitment from the boards of directors and the technical side of this situation in order to support the sanitary authorities of Mozambique. And, well, this project has been there for about a year and a half. And we have achieved very interesting results. Mozambique achieved to progress a lot in defining the regulations framework for medicines. But of course, there's a difficulty. For example, political changes are always a difficulty that we may face when cooperating amongst countries of the South. And just to finish, lack or miss of your staff in the basic formation in Mozambique, for example. In Mozambique, where they have no more than 50 pharmaceuticals in the country, and like 22 million inhabitants, so just imagine how difficult it is. Sanitary control that is needed. But, well, we have achieved results till right now important that are here, so I guess this is for a country that was very happy with our work. And well, as conclusions then, we have that. A little bit the concept of cooperation South-South, being close to the South, exchange of technical knowledge, based upon the principles which are the exterior politics of Brazil, solidarity, horizontality, equity, the consensus we know about. So, well, cooperation is to have the idea of strengthening the systems of health and the political institutions of health. We also spoke a little bit about the importance of OPS so that there are no interests, political interests, economical interests, between a bilateral relationship, for example, hegemonic kind of interest of one country to the other, instead of bilateral, could be decided by international instances. So, well, a little bit of what I already mentioned. And, well, for continuity of the research, we propose to elaborate indicators to prove how efficient the help and the cooperation of Brazil for health is, as well as what we had was somehow to have this questionnaire handed to see the perception the countries have related to the exterior policies or policies of Brazil so that we can analyze a little bit about the vision of these countries with whom we work, related to our international behavior. Well, we need to discuss with colleges, with universities, and other instances in order to delve into the study. Well, thank you very much. So we can now take the questions. So I ask the other panel members to join me. We had a very interesting session in which we started by reviewing the activities of a emerging system, which is the Mesoamerican one of public health, that is trying to implement as part of existing systems in the region, which is something probably we will have to discuss. Then we heard the very interesting also work of Cuba about how they helped other countries and how is it that this has been an action, a truly efficient one in the development of capacities in other countries, a capacity that maybe they couldn't have with this help. And then we heard the work in order to try, and I say try, to set a perspective of gender in the systems of health that we do not achieve yet and that I would like to discuss in a moment. And finally, We heard what Brazil is doing, and they speak about a state policy. One of the things we can see if you look around is that we only remain here, the southern people. The room that was full of northern and south, when we were speaking of the south, we stay alone. And maybe, and this we should discuss amongst all, shouldn't be the best strategy. A strategy of separation, a strategy of saying, well, now we were together, we don't want you, which is not the point, it's not our intention, but how, besides working horizontally, as we're saying, that we're able to have it with everybody's involvement. Global health will not be Latin American one, it's global. So we cannot solve our problems if those don't solve theirs. And we're seeing this. The health problem that is very severe in Mexico at this point, as well as on many other countries, which is drug addiction. The narco problem we have, if the North doesn't solve their addiction problems, we cannot have a solution either. And then this is something we should see at every level, and something we didn't see here. I would like to open up the floor for questions while you think about your questions. I would like to ask the panel about certain things. I would like any of them to answer. One, we are still part of a program of implementation in a region, but it hasn't been easy. Which are the main difficulties that you have found in trying to develop horizontal systems, south-south, of cooperation? And if we can classify them, I would like to ask, which are the sustainability elements? How do we do it to be sustainable? I've always said that if we do not develop any sustainability, then how can we achieve that the countries we're working with are developed, and then the sustainability is also bilateral, multilateral? We cannot develop a cooperation that only develops one side if we do not decide to develop on this. How do we do this? Deyanira, I feel personally, and we can discuss it, that we have been for years trying to have the gender perspective at every level of our culture and society. We have carried out education. We have even inserted laws, acts. And we could say, and this is teasing because I'm not a racist, but when it was imposed that there cannot be discrimination is when the Negroes started to complain about. But about this, and about this gender equity, that not even with the laws we can change. The lack of evenness is so imprinted in the culture and the core of culture that it's really difficult to change. That they know how to access, to turn it around. So what is it that we're doing? What is it that is missing so that we really have a perspective of gender at this point? And well, Mateos, why a policy of state? Well, we always lack to trust. Are you here to help me? Why? 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 Why put in this, and how can we sell it to our governments exactly that it is good to cooperate and that this is the mission of the state policy? Okay, who would like to start? I will start. I mean, both are complicated, but yes, of course. These programs are not a piece of cake. I mean, they're not easy because, as I was saying, The first aspect has to do with the cultural things. We have a Latin American culture that we understand each other, but when we are in a different country like that, it's complex. Actually, it is complex. But besides this, we had problems with this program that I don't say that is a segregation, but when we started working with the program, this program was death for a year and 3 months since it was presented for the first time, because in the Arabic world, there is this system that is good, but at the time, processes become complex because it is a system for the university. This is when they actually recognize a master's or a PhD program. It's because any university, Arabic university, acknowledged them immediately, and then in Egypt, in the university, we saw this because they were posting questions, and then this is a difficulty. And another one is the problem of the language, because in the end, this is a program that is provided in English. We do not speak English, those who provide it as well as those who receive it. And, well, the languages are not the same. So, well, this was a problem for this. And another difficulty, and with this I finish, was that once the program was approved to start out, this is to break the ice, was difficult because the authority didn't believe this was sustainable. They believed they would be starting day one, and that maybe the Dingua San Pedro, you may finish with five. Well, then, speaking about the second part, which is sustainability, then they went through the most complex period, because we're speaking of statistics, we're speaking of epidemiology, of public health, and the students went through this. Now, in order to achieve this sustainability, which is the question posted by Mario, a matter that is basic is quality. Quality of the people and quality of the process. Because if this is a process that won't be according to the country where you would be doing an alliance with, or a cooperation, a bilateral cooperation, well, the first thing you have is resistance, because there's no quality. And if there's no quality, then this has to do with the process. But for us, in order to achieve this sustainability that I was speaking about, that has been there for 35 years in Yemen, what has influenced the quality? Because let me tell you, we have no professors who are there to, you know, to rule. They are approved by the authorities of the university, and they are approved or not. So, well, this about quality is very important, and the benefits, well, let me tell you that Cuban professors participating, not all of us, but I mean all the professors in general, but in this specific program, the benefits we received were a lot. Because we learned, I mean, in Cuba, when we do a program like this, it's relatively easy because this is summon and it's softer, the discussion. But when you do a program like this, we do and we go through a step and a step. It's difficult. So this was a benefit for us. Because we went to the inside and how this worked, and we were able to save these problems, and this was a benefit. And then there was this Alexandria, and then it was incorporated, and I didn't say it, but the University of Liverpool incorporated to these courses, and then the benefits they had, and they were incorporated, that then was Saudi Arabia. In the Central University. Therefore, it was this benefit. And, well, basically it is quality, the quality of people and the quality of process.
Let me see if I asked, if I understood. You mean the difficulties to make real the gender equity? Well, we can speak forever, as well as other topics. I think another thing is that we have not overcome this stage that the approach of gender is only women. And the gender focus is women and men. Therefore, this is of an approach that is against the dominant culture. Speaking of religion, or culture in the field of health. A lot of people have this that has to do with feminism, and we have a lot of prejudice in colleges, where people also have a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of prejudice. In the Metropolitana University, we have this experience of including it in a complete studies plan, which is the human nutrition one. But we have not been able to do this in medicine, because in medicine and medical people, women, don't want to know about this because it is to move it somehow. I'm from Costa Rica, and I would like to see if any of you, because of the time, because it's late, not all of you could actually delve into. I think the person from Brazil covered the topic, and this was about which are the mechanisms or instances that in the experiences that you are developing have had to build in order to avoid, to replicate a model of cooperation that is more vertical. Well, going back to what you were saying, I think I have covered about the difficulties and a little bit about the elements of sustainability, right? And this matter was about the policy of a state level. And we work following a logic, a solidarity base, a sound one. Of course, that there might be interests, but there are no economical interests that are direct. I mean, it is based on an exchange between countries and not on the financial budget. And not to replicate the experiences, the prior experiences, north, south. This is built all together. This is the initiatives in which we work are built following or according to the national priorities of the several countries with which we work. And then the proposal is approached jointly. There is this perspective on both sides. And when I speak about the solidarity base, it's because we are trying, as it was said before, to strengthen the base of the system of health, of the basic systems. And it is not an approach, it is not a structural initiative, not an initiative that has as an objective to be impositive, our model to other countries. And it is also a help that is mutual, because Brazil also learns from the initiatives and the other countries. So, for instance,
to review and experience the knowledge. We're reviewing our processes, our internal working processes. We are reformulating our internal organization in order to provide this help to the other countries. And the exterior policy has a double role. It is a role of reaching or really obtaining their interest in the world. This is international bilateral cooperation with the southern countries. It's building a base, a strong one, between southern countries, and this contributes for Brazil to reach its objectives internationally in the international system, where the country has objectives very well defined, as well as objectives of internal development in the country. I would like to answer to the challenge set by Mario Henry about South collaboration related to North-South collaboration that is more traditional. I would say that in the case of the Mesoamerican Institute, it is so clear that even when it is an initiative that was generated by the presidents of the regions, it is very open to collaboration of other institutions, for instance, in the United States, in Europe, where they want to see through this platform an innovative way of linking, of collaborating with the countries of the region, that leads to an enriching of the academic institutions, national or not. And we are seeing an interest from North American universities to start collaborating in such a way that I believe here we're opening new ways of integrating, and definitely we don't want to go alone in this field. We need to integrate. I think everything having to do with global health, looking at it from a politological broader perspective, will question the geopolitical categories, the traditional one, because global health speaks about the importance we need to cover on the problems having to do with ecology, having to do with the environment, I mean topics that surpass geopolitical borders. And then it is good to remind that the concept of Latin America is a concept that invents or makes popular Napoleon, actually before the independence of the Latin American countries. And they do this exactly to link with the regions through Spain when they have hegemony with Spain and to oppose to the English-speaking ones that were arising on that side. So while this is a concept that is very linked to a historic reality that we are surpassing fast. But nevertheless, this about Latin America is still enforced, and the United States go back to it as part of their plan of the Monroe Doctrine, another kind of hegemony. But we need to question in order to establish a new identity that will help us collaborate more efficiently and coming from down to up. Good afternoon, Yamiles Ortiz from the University of Cali. Thank you very much. I have a comment having to do with the initiative of the Mesoamerican Institute. I find it very interesting to have so many universities around who are interested. Nevertheless, I believe that we need to review the experiences and the lessons learned, as well as other mechanisms, sub-regional, and approach topics which are core to be able to have cooperation, results of cooperation, and measure it. And in this case, I specifically speak about the difficulties we have, countries, to be able to document and systematize correctly the experiences of cooperation we are having, regardless of the organism or body we're doing it with, when you are there to recover in the countries of what is historic, it's not that much. I mean, the Institute has a good opportunity to potentialize, to define, to provide the guidelines having to do with how we can strengthen these processes of cooperation and how to work on it. I think ARCAN is a part of this, and the body of health is working, and one of the strategic objectives is exactly this one. Besides carrying out diagnosis to strengthen the undying region in order to do a good documentation of processes and achieve to evaluate what's going on with this cooperation we're doing in different scenarios. I think it is a great potential that we have there, so I think it's important to have the opportunity of learning and working, as well as improving. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. With this comment that we really consider, we ran out of time. 15 minutes ago, by the way, but we have the speakers around in case you would like to ask them anything. We have a Mexican party out there. We will have mariachis. We will have snacks. I was promised. So, well, with this, I kindly ask you to give a big hand for the presentations.